Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
Today we are coming to the last verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, believe it or not. We've been working our way through this chapter verse by verse, and it's taken a while because this is not one of the easiest chapters to understand in the Bible, and yet it is filled with wonderful truth. And if we'll take the time to look at it carefully, to analyze it, to break it apart, to look at it from different angles, we learn a great deal. And we have learned a great deal in this chapter about the contrast between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And as we come down to the final three verses, we are talking about the believer's glorious hope, which of course is hope in Christ, it's hope in the gospel, it's hope in the New Covenant as opposed to the Old Covenant. And as we have already seen in verse 16, that glorious hope is based upon spiritual enlightenment. Those who trust in Christ, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. His spiritual blindness, his spiritual fogginess, his spiritual confusion is all cleared up. The veil is taken away, and he understands spiritual truth. And it is rejoicing in spiritual liberation, as we saw in the broadcast yesterday. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is liberty. That, you say, is talking about the glorious American Revolution when America declared its liberty from Great Britain. Not really. No. This is talking about inward liberty, spiritual liberty, liberation from the bondage of sin, liberation from spiritual darkness, liberation from a reliance upon works for salvation, and on it goes. It's talking about spiritual liberation, and believers rejoice in spiritual liberation. But now we will come to the last verse and learn that believers are engaged in spiritual transformation. And so that is where we're going on this Wednesday, October 19. Thank you for tuning us in, and I trust you'll be able to stay with us throughout the remainder of the broadcast. And we are dependent upon the financial gifts of radio listeners in order to be able to carry on this ministry. Perhaps the Lord would prompt you to help us. Verse 18, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." Well, there is a mouthful. Let's see if we can break it down and understand it. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are engaged in spiritual transformation. And he talks, first of all, about the unveiled face of all New Covenant believers. For we all with unveiled face. We all those who have received Christ, all those who relate to God under the terms of the New Covenant inaugurated by Christ, in contrast with those who are looking to Moses and whose minds are veiled because they have not come to Christ. That all, of course, was spoken about in previous verses. And so what this phrase is doing is contrasting veiled faces with unveiled faces. There are veiled faces, and there's an unveiled face. There was one veiled face, actually, that of Moses, but that, of course, was a reference also to the veiled hearts of all those who are looking to Moses and to the terms of the Old Covenant and don't understand that it points to Christ. But those who believe in Christ have unveiled faces, unveiled hearts. Now, we all, Paul says, we all, meaning he and all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, all born-again believers, we all with unveiled face. And so, the first part of this spiritual transformation that true believers in Jesus Christ are engaged in is that we have an unveiled face. We have unveiled hearts. We have unveiled minds. That speaks of spiritual transformation. All people, before they are born again, all people, before they come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, have a veiled heart and mind. They are in spiritual blindness, spiritual darkness. They cannot truly comprehend the things of the Spirit of God. But in Christ, there's a transformation. And now that veil is removed. And we all, Paul says, with unveiled face. And then he goes on to talk about the beholden glory of New Testament or New Covenant believers. And now we know why he uses the language of a veiled face instead of a veiled heart or a veiled mind, as he has previously in this chapter. But he's coming to a particular point here, and to make that point, he has to think in terms of a face, because he's going to talk about looking in a mirror. We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Now, that word as is the key to understanding. He's not talking about literally looking in a mirror, but there's an analogy here. It's something like this. As in a mirror. In other words, we have not yet come face to face with Jesus Christ. We are beholding him as in a mirror. It's a reflection. It's like you're standing in front of the bathroom mirror and you see someone behind you, your husband, your wife, someone behind you, but you're not really looking at them. You're looking at their image in the mirror. So in one sense, we say, well, I see you. I see you. I see you're wearing your red dress, and you can see that as a reflection in the mirror, but you're not seeing them. To see them, you'll have to turn around and look at them directly. But right now, you are seeing a reflection in the mirror. And that's a little bit of like what Paul is trying to get at here. For we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. In the days of Moses, the children of Israel looked directly at Moses. And what they saw in the face of Moses was the reflected glory of the Lord in his face. They didn't look directly at the glory of God, but they did look directly at the face of Moses. Now, New Covenant believers don't look directly into the face of Christ. We will someday. We will see him face to face. We will be in his presence. We will look upon him in his glorified body in heaven. But right now, we are looking as it was in a mirror, but we are looking with an unveiled face. Our vision is no longer obscured. We have an unveiled face. We can look clearly. We can look without veil, without something obscuring our sight. But we can't look directly at the face of Christ because we're not in his presence yet, but we can look at the mirror clearly and see the glory of Christ in the mirror. And what the mirror is the Bible, the Word of God. That is the mirror. And so as we look with unveiled face into the Word of God, what do we see? We see Christ and we see His glory. And because the veil has been removed from us, we're able to see Him in Scripture. I have had a number of people over the years tell me, I try to read the Bible, but I don't get anything out of it. What's the problem? Am I not intelligent? Am I not educated? I read the Bible, but it just doesn't make sense to me. It has nothing to do with your intelligence. You may have a very high IQ. It has nothing to do with your educational level. You may have a high level of education. It has everything to do with the veil that is over your mind until you are born again, until you truly believe in Jesus Christ. And then the veil is removed, and you're able to look into the Scripture and see things clearly. Now, I'm not talking about seeing things perfectly. If we all looked in the Bible and saw everything perfectly, then we'd all believe everything alike. We'd all understand everything. There'd be no mysteries. But when it comes to Christ and the gospel, we see that clearly, and we see the glory of it. We see it as in a mirror. We'll see it face to face when we get to heaven. But now we can see it as in a mirror, and we realize that this is not a diminishing glory like Moses in the Old Covenant, where he veiled his face so people wouldn't see that the glory shining from his face was fading away, just like the Old Covenant was dissolving and fading away. But unlike that, this diminishing glory of Moses, we see Christ's glory, which is an increasing glory. It's an entirely different thing. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding, as in a mirror, the Word of God, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We'll get to the last part of that verse, Lord willing, tomorrow. But this idea of seeing the glory of the Lord, and what we're seeing is, we're seeing a glory that does not fade. We are seeing a glory that does not diminish. We are seeing the true glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ revealed to us in Scripture. We look at the Bible, that is the mirror that we look at to see these things. Now, we're accustomed to talking about the Bible as a mirror to look into our own heart and soul, and that concept is a helpful one as well. We can look into the mirror of God's Word and examine our hearts. We compare what the Bible says with what is within us. We compare what the Bible says about acceptable behavior with what has been our behavior and so forth. It's the tool by which we recognize our sins and failures so that we can confess and forsake them. So we look into the mirror of God's Word in that way and see a reflection of our own true self. But this is talking about looking in the mirror of God's Word and seeing a reflection of Christ and His undiminished, unfading glory. And it's a wonderful glory indeed. And we delight in that. And that is the joy and the privilege of believers. The believer's glorious hope is to look into the Word of God and see that glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's nothing more wonderful than that. And so come back tomorrow. We'll continue. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.